Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the best of the Spiegel and Parkins podcast, highlighting the best of the show every day. Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkins show.
Which game are you most looking forward to this weekend?
Saints-Panthers to me, just because I love me some Saints.
The Saints hang on to knock off the Panthers for the third time this season. New Orleans 31, Carolina 26.
I legitimately don't know who's going to win Rams and Falcons. That is a complete toss-up game.
The Atlanta Falcons won against the number one offense in that of the Rams. 26-13.
Get these trash AFC games out of the way.
Well, you can have them just sort of exist in your periphery for a little while, and then if they demand isolation, you can grant them that.
The Tennessee Titans pick up their first playoff victory in 14 years.
If any of the games are bad, you feel like you're just watching a bad Monday Night Football game, and you want to change the station, but it's a playoff game, mm-hmm. And so do you really watch the whole thing? Like, I probably will, but it's because I have no social life.
Right.
Peterman looks to the far side, the throw, pucked up in the air, interception attempt, Jalen Ramsey, it's over, and the Jaguars survive.
Matt Spiegel, Danny Parkins.
It's football, mister.
Middays on the Score.
A lot of football. All sorts of football.
Football. That was a weekend to feel it. I saw some people saying that they were underwhelmed by Wild Card Weekend.
No, it was great.
No way, man. That was exactly what we thought it was going to be in terms of compelling, fun. Saints and Panthers, I thought, was an absolute great game with lots of stuff to get you going. That first AFC tilt existed in the periphery until you're like, wait a minute, are they really going to blow this? And then you're paying attention as the Titans come back and get it done.
Oh, I watched every snap of that game. That game was, man, added to the list. I was in Indianapolis when the Chiefs were up 38-10 on the road and lost to Andrew Luck. A lot of flashbacks going on when they blew that 18-point lead at home in the second half. That was insane.
They've done that before, and you had another little Clemson-type moment on your hands, didn't you? You're talking some smack. I believe there was a tweet that said Tennessee has no chance.
Oh, I did. I think I might be. You would think I would learn. Thank you for bringing that up. I had forgotten about that.
4 minutes in.
Yeah, people let me, I think largely let me slide on that because of how much of a beating I took over the Clemson prediction. The people were just pointing it out and being like, Happy New Year. You're really on a roll. Good job. You haven't won a bet yet in 2018. And they're right.
Are you still 0 for 2018? Did you play yesterday?
I didn't do much. You know, the Panthers covered. Upsets, the underdogs covered every game. I had a teaser on the Chiefs and Saints. That was a loser. I had the Saints covering their spread. That was a loser. Don't worry. I'm making it all back on Georgia tonight, though. Everything will be fine.
Oh, God. You're really doing that, aren't you?
I mean, I'm not going to go that big. That'd be ridiculous. But, I'll be invested in Georgia a little bit. Screw Alabama. They overrated. Overrated, Speaks.
Okay. All right. Whatever you think, kiddo.
It's basically a home game for the Bulldogs. I don't know if you know. The game's in Atlanta.
I am indeed aware of such things.
Yeah,
that it is an SEC tilt and a home game. I had fun this weekend.
It was fun.
And you know, man, the Saints, I'm all over the Saints to come out of the NFC, and there was yet another reason. If you forgot by chance that Drew Brees is still Drew Brees, Carolina understandably asked one of the best quarterbacks of all time to beat them, and then he did. It's understandable that they chose to do that and stack up on the run and beat the run.
Right. I mean, and they shut down Alvin Kamara. He had less than 30 yards rushing, and Cam Newton looked really good for the majority of the game, and it looked like he was going to execute the comeback. And then there was controversy. There's the concussion protocol controversy in that game. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs-Titans game was so poorly officiated that Jeff Triplett's retiring.
Finally.
Yeah.
I've been ready for that for a long time.
I,
He's annoyed me for a long time.
I've heard.
I have an absolute racist bias against his accent. I just feel like he's an idiot whenever he talks.
Wow.
I admit my slant in that direction.
You got to admit your biases
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. It just comes out. The cracker referee talking like that. I just am glad he's going away.
Okay.
I've always hated him. And not just because of the accent, but it's
not just because he's Southern.
No.
That's a good reason not to just hate someone.
He hit Orlando Brown. In the face, in the eye, blinded the dude.
Yeah, unintentionally.
Are you sure?
I guess I can't judge intent. I don't like when the NFL officials judge intent, so I guess I should not judge intent on his flag tossing.
All right, well, stick with your narrative that the game went so poorly that he just flat out retired.
That he retired. And then we were hoping, at least I was hoping for Bills fans, that they would at least get a worthwhile playoff experience, and they scored 3 points. 3 points?
Yeah.
That's it? You wait that long for a playoff game since the Music City Miracle and you score 3 points?
I love that Nathan Peterman made our open because it was set up for a great Nate Peterman story there for a minute. But no.
Yeah. And then what was the other game? Oh, and then, Falcons, just a dismantling. Defensive domination of Sean McVay and Jared Goff in the Saturday night game.
So if we are to expect that the Bears are going to have exactly the second year of Jared Goff's career.
In
the second year of Mitch Trubisky's career. Because we're all going off that hopeful model. And, maybe John DeFilippo is Sean McVay, et cetera. So does that mean we get a completely overwhelmed rookie head coach in his first game? And you get a big play offense that can't muster the big plays and gets outclassed by the defending champs next year. We're going to get exactly what the Falcons with the Rams got.
Probably, right? But then you would take it in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, right? Because it's upside.
It's funny, coming out of that game Saturday night, a lot of people saying Sean McVay looked like a deer in headlights. Some NFL insiders saying he was overwhelmed. The play caller was overwhelmed, all that. Okay, that's fine. I wouldn't be upset if we get a first-year coach who turns around the quarterback and wins a division and then seems a bit overwhelmed in his first career playoff game. That's fine.
I would think that would be fine. Youngest team in the NFL going up against the defending NFC champs, and the Falcons win that game. And they won it with defense, which I think was the surprising thing to me. Like it wasn't just that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones outdueled Jared Goff and Robert Woods. Like, I could have seen that coming.
Yeah.
I did not exactly see the Atlanta Falcons bottling up Todd Gurley and making the entire Rams offense look pedestrian. And now, doesn't it feel like for championship or for divisional weekend, it feels like we're getting one of the championship games early? To me, it feels like Saints-Vikings is the NFC Championship game, or at least should be the NFC Championship game.
Feels like those are the two best teams.
Yeah, and
they are.
Huge break for the Falcons. They're the first time ever that a 6 seed has been favored over a 1 seed in the divisional round of the playoffs.
There's a scenario that just, it feels so plausible that I can't get it out of my head, and that's that the Saints playoffs go like this. Home in a dome, then at Minnesota in a dome.
Yep.
Home for the Falcons, who have beaten the Eagles.
Yep.
In a dome.
In their dome.
In their dome. And then back to Minnesota in a dome for the Super Bowl. That the Saints never have to play outside. They can wear their all blacks as many times as possible.
It's a good look for them.
Right. Oh, it's a great look.
It's a really good look for them.
It's a great look for them. They look faster.
Slimming.
Yeah. it's true. But like the Saints never get out of a dome and just play their game and control things with their offense the whole way and a very good young defense.
It's
the Saints year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it is. They finally got the running game, and Sean Payton gets bailed out a little bit for some of his weird coaching at the end of the game. And do you see that graphic, by the way, of Drew Brees and accuracy and the top? He has 3 of the top 4 completion percentage seasons in NFL history.
Oh, my God.
And it's 4 of the top 10, and Sam Bradford's the only other guy in there because it's obviously, shorter passes, and it's gotten easier to complete the ball because of the rules and all of that. Mm. He completed 72% of his passes this year. 72%. And so when I'm watching Drew Brees, and I'm thinking about how Ryan Pace is trying to recreate the Saints of the North, albeit, yes, with the wind and the lakefront and an open-air stadium, but he drafted the most accurate passer in college that he could get at the top of the draft in Mitch Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching it and you're thinking, this is the best-case scenario, right? Drew Brees with mobility. Like, Drew Brees level accuracy with mobility.
One of Brees' best throws was on the run yesterday.
Yep.
Even was he 38?
38 years old.
That throw on the run to Michael Thomas down the right sideline for a big, big gain. I'm looking at the early years of Drew Brees in San Diego when he went 8-8 in his second year, 60% completion rate, followed by 57.6 completion rate in 11 games as a Charger, followed by 65 and 64 and 64, and then he got up. Up there, but there's a 60 and a 57 early on. So you don't have to despair. It is possible for somebody to be statistically as mediocre to bad as Mitch Trubisky was this year and have a learning curve take you to very, very good places.
Right. And it was fun to look at because Brees is not the most mobile guy. Obviously he's not the strongest arm. Obviously he's not the biggest quarterback, right? Sometimes they'll and zoom in on him throwing on his toes because he's got to level up to see above the offensive line and all that.
It's a big part why he went in the second round,
right,
when he did.
But accuracy wins. Some of those throws that he had yesterday where he is putting them in the tightest window against a good defense,
right.
It's just accuracy. Elite-level accuracy is a skill that is almost impossible to guard in the modern NFL.
All right, have we buried the lead? I don't think we've buried the lead. But,
I don't know.
But it is
that we're giving
knowing.
Away a pair of Cubs convention passes?
That's awesome. This is the week of the Cubs convention.
Yes.
We're giving away a pair of passes today. Also, who's on at 10 o'clock?
Brian Urlacher.
I'm excited for that.
Very excited. Hall of Fame finalist, Brian Urlacher.
Last time we talked to him with Pat Manley here, we learned about all the locker room dodgeball games.
Yeah.
And a couple other sports. What was it? The box? Box him up?
Box him up, which was just drop a big moving box on top of a player without them knowing.
What the hell is that?
Dodgeball. And he was talking about who the best players were at dodgeball. I want to find the weakest link today. Like, who is the guy that you targeted to get him out of the game early? Who is the weakest player in Bears locker room dodgeball? So we'll talk with Brian Urlacher about that and the Bears coaching situation, obviously at 10. But I assume that's not the lead that you were talking about.
No. We also have the feel-good fan story of the weekend. I'm excited to get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But how was your morning yesterday? There you were.
Yeah.
My past and my present hosting together on a Sunday morning on The Score. I was notified by it by a million tweets and Facebook posts, of course.
Hold on a second. You knew about it.
Oh, no. That's what I knew. All right. I did know a little.
Come on, buddy.
I knew a little bit.
You knew ahead of time.
A lot of people did not. I think the shock and awe of, oh, my God, is that Dan McNeil on our airwaves? And it was. Did you have a good time?
Yeah, it was great. Good. At first, I thought I was just living the embodiment of a Ford commercial. I thought I was just there. I was like, am I going for a test drive?
Did you have to buy a truck in order to host with the man?
No, I didn't. It was amazing. He's promised me 0% interest, though, if I want to get a 2018 when my current lease expires.
Uh-huh.
Of course it was fun. Like, I was asked if I wanted to host with Mac, and I was like, yes. he's my first favorite radio host ever. You know, I interned for Mac Yurko and Harry. Like that, you know, I looked up to his radio career when I was young and thinking about getting into this business. So
And there you were driving yesterday.
I was driving the show. Like,
take me everywhere, anywhere you want, Parco.
That's exactly what it was. Feeders writing, like, Dan McNeil co-hosting with Danny Parkins. I was like, am I high? And, like, the answer, I think, was yes. But, like, I it was
well,
just,
if it's a Sunday morning and Mac's on the air, somebody was high.
Right, exactly.
That's the way it used to be.
I was like, Mac is co-hosting with me? I used to literally park his car.
He had you park the car?
Yeah, well, if he was running late and he didn't want to deal with anything, like, he would just pull up and he'd go, Parco, meet me downstairs. You could just pull the old SUV into the lot for me.
Jay, have you ever had to park my car? I think you moved it one time for me.
I did move it once, but for whatever reason, I wasn't upset about it.
Yeah, because it was like a rare emergency.
There was a toe zone thrown up, like, late notice or something like that.
It's something like that.
It wasn't just laziness and elitism on your part that time.
Not that time.
Yeah, it was a true emergency, so I didn't mind.
Yeah, it was fun. It was totally surreal. He's hosting next Sunday and a few Sundays after. Feeder reported that it's with Tim Doyle.
Yeah, he's doing football Sundays, at least for this month, right here on The Score.
Yeah, and so, you know, it was bizarre, man. It was bizarre, but it was fun. And I enjoyed it, and it was super degenerate. It was we were talking teasers and totals, and
yes.
He was shouting out referee numbers. Like, he knows way too many officials and their jersey numbers, which I just thought was weird.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
I know. I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of it.
Most everything.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was a good time.
It was an odd listen for a guy like me.
I believe it.
Oh, man. That was like, all right, I know that bit. I understand. Oh, yeah, I know where he's going there. And then I know where he's going there. Yeah. After a while, I was like, all right, I think I've heard this show. At least I've lived this show. I'm not exactly sure.
In your nightmare sessions, in your therapy, where would you heard that show?
Not a nightmare.
Okay,
I like the both of you.
No,
and,
I know.
And I'm glad you had a good time. And it just adds weight to our upcoming first and last anniversary show.
True. Yeah, January 17th. Everybody get excited. The one and only Spiegel and Parkins anniversary
it's
show.
It's going to be a terrific only anniversary show. So, I mean, get in your fun while you can. Send a present while you can, people.
Right. SpiegelandParkinsStuff.com if you want to buy our t-shirt that trolls the basketball team and raise money for charity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you got?
Actually, mine arrived.
Wow.
Mine arrived. Very pleased. If you're watching it, watch 670thescore.com. My 3.5 million shirt has arrived.
Wow, that's a good looking shirt.
I like they make big sizes. You're swimming in that thing.
I am so comfortable. This is too big.
It's too big.
It's frankly too big, which I did not expect. They are pre-shrunk cotton, and I can report that the multiple X's, whatever X's they may be.
Oh, my X. Sorry.
The multiple X's, they fit beautifully.
That's great.
You know the thing that you have to
I'm
do,
I'm glad
Jay?
You and your exes are getting along.
Especially at this time.
There was
the multiple
one...
X. Yeah, me talking about multiple exes.
Dude, one time in my life, I had to return a shirt that was too big. I was like,
it's a great
yes,
moment.
This shirt doesn't fit. And I turned around. It's too big. You get that, everybody? Too big on me.
Write it down.
It's the best moment of my life.
Somebody film this and put it on the internet, please. But you know that move you do where you get the shirt and then you stretch out the bottom, you put the elbows in there.
Put your knees under there?
Yeah. You try not to rip it. It responded very well.
I call that Christmas.
Before you put on the sweater.
You're asking those guys, do they know that move? They're like, I invented that move.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. So SpiegelandParkinsStuff.com, and I can report that the shirts from Triple Threat Sports, our guy Chris Hubble, they fit well. They look good. I think they do.
Yeah, it looks great.
Game on.
It fits great. I can't wait to get mine. The first orders have shipped. You should have plenty of them out in time for January 17th. You could probably still get them in time for January 17th.
I don't think we're in danger of copyright infringement here on the front. Do you?
I certainly wouldn't say it publicly.
Okay.
No, I think it looks good.
I think so, too.
I think
we kept it nice and clean.
I think everything looks good, and it was you guys have a good weekend? My weekend was busy. You guys have a good weekend?
Tremendous.
Yeah, it was fine.
I went sledding. You asked me about my Sunday. I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. You went sledding?
I did. I took Eddie sledding.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I actually fit on a sled and made it down the hill without embarrassing myself.
That's tremendous.
Well, I may have embarrassed myself, but I wasn't aware if I was embarrassing myself or not.
Were there any tree casualties?
No, but the momentum of the 250 going down the hill on a child's sled almost took me to a park bench. Like, I probably shouldn't be going this far.
That park bench wouldn't stand a chance.
The fire and smoke behind the sled was concerning, too.
But you got it done.
I did, several times.
That's tremendous. What sled works best for Addy? Because we just got Ruben just the round...
The saucer.
The saucer, man. And the saucer is like a $5 piece of plastic, but it is consistently the best sled.
Those are great. We have a... I guess it would be styrofoam two-person bobsled is what it's called. It's just a flat piece. It's like a surfboard. And it was great. She loved it. And then her friend showed up with a real old-school toboggan, like a wooden... That was the best. And if I had $300 to spend, I'd get a toboggan.
Well,
it was really cool.
That's good. That's good. Did you put any WD-40 on the bottom like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation? No?
Did not need it. All the momentum I needed was in my hindquarters.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
I like the image of you like Herschel Walker in the back of the bobsled. You know, get that push going, use your elite speed and your girth, and just hop on.
I'm on a saucer sled. We got Brian Urlacher, like you said, at 10. I want to discuss fallouts from the coaching search as it related to the playoffs, right? We got a DeFilippo Fangio report.
Yeah.
We got an interview with Matt Nagy the day after his team blows an 18-point second half lead.
I've seen some people say that shouldn't matter. Some people say that should matter. Let's discuss. Did you see the insider with a scoop, which was immediately called out as BS by one of our own?
I did.
We should report on that one, too.
Sounds good. And again, Brian Urlacher in 40 minutes. It is Spiegel and Parkins approaching our one and only 1 year anniversary on The Score.
You're listening to the best of Spiegel and Parkins podcast. Like what you're hearing? Be sure to tell a friend about the show. Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on 670 The Score.
Jeff Joniak on the call, WBBM, the highlight as requested by Brian Urlacher, the interception of Chad Pennington. We promised we would introduce him with it the next time he was on.
And there it is. Make a request on this show, get rewarded. I'm surprised that Brian Urlacher has the kind of time it takes to talk to us. He's busy hobnobbing these days with the Glitterati. My God, this golf tournament that he's in with, like, superstars of sport who have retired. Brian gets to hang out with true legends, or do they get to hang out with him?
Yeah, I was going to say, they get to hang out with Brian Urlacher. He's a Hall of Fame finalist. Doesn't matter that Smoltz, Maddox, and Glavin and 27 PGA pros are going to be there, and he's golfing on TV. It's on the Golf Channel January 12th to the 14th, the Diamond Resorts Invitational. What's up, Brian? Thanks for coming back on the show. How's it going?
Yeah, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this golf tournament. It's a good time.
How's your game these days?
We'll see. I haven't been playing very good since, God, was it about middle of June last year? My game has went downhill, and it hasn't decided to go back uphill yet, so we'll see.
You got an uphill climb against these pitchers. First of all, they played sports one day out of five, and the other days they were golfing, right? And also, like, their bodies, I believe, never went through one millionth of the battle that you went. Like, what part of your body is a detriment when you try to play golf, Brian? Where does it still hurt, if it does?
Golfing doesn't really hurt my body. It's just my mind. It hurts my mind because it's so frustrating. So that's probably the hardest thing about it. I guess if I had to complain, my right wrist is the only thing that really hurts. I dislocated it in 2009. And when I swing, and if I hit one fat, I feel it. So that's about the only thing I can complain about besides my mental capacity out there.
I heard your mental game actually gets a little bit better the more stakes, if you know what I mean, that are riding on a putt or a shot.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, Brian. Come on. Everyone, you know, I got $20 riding on a putt. I trust myself. I'm more likely to make it. Would you ballpark a figure for me, the most you've ever had riding on a putt?
I'm not one single putt.
One round.
That is a really good. Maybe around, maybe a few thousand stakes.
A few thousand stakes.
Wait, that's stakes.
Nothing crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. A couple dinners there, a few dinners, I guess.
A few dinners.
Wait, a couple thousand stakes. I mean, steaks can be expensive. I had a I had a $99 tomahawk ribeye one time. You know?
Wow. You know. He must have been hungry.
Yeah,
he was.
It wasn't bad.
You have all the golf stuff in your house too, right? I remember some show that was showing that. You have the indoor stuff, or how do you practice?
I live in Arizona now, so I just kind of go outside whenever I want to and hit golf balls or play golf. But where I live in Chicago, I had, you know, have a little driving range at my house there outside, so it wouldn't do me any good right now. It's too damn cold to go anywhere there right now. But in Arizona here, we can get outside whenever we want.
He is Brian Urlacher, the Hall of Fame finalist and former linebacker for the Chicago Bears. Brian, you're everywhere in this town. You're like, you're on billboards as I'm driving around the middle of downtown. You're on billboards near the airport, and now you're out there. Did you ever think that after your career, you would be kind of out there and as accessible as you have become? Because it didn't seem like something that made sense for you along the way, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really have a picture for what it looked like when I got there, and honestly, I had no idea what to expect. The hair thing just kind of came out of nowhere, and it's been great. You know, I've really enjoyed working with Restore. Those guys are awesome, and you look at how much they've blown up over the last couple of years, and the billboards obviously are everywhere. It's embarrassing to drive around, you know, to drive down 294. And see all these different poses of me looking like a fool. But it's a good time. I've really enjoyed working with them. And I enjoy what I'm doing out here in Arizona. It's nice. The weather's good. My kids are loving it. It's enjoyable.
Hey, it's a balmy 30 degrees in Chicago today, Brian.
Yeah, I know it is. It's supposed to be, I'm actually keen off here in about an hour and a half. It's supposed to be 75 here today.
Okay. Rub it in. Brian Urlacher is joining.
When it's supposed to be 75, it gets to 75. It's not like, oh, I only got the 58 today. It usually gets to the number they say it's going to get to.
That'd be nice. We're going to have to look into that. Brian Urlacher is playing in the Diamond Resorts Invitational. You can watch it on the Golf Channel January 12th to the 14th. You know, last time we had you on, you were merely a Hall of Fame semifinalist, and now you're a finalist. So congratulations on moving up in the world.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Is it surreal? Like, I mean, is it becoming more real that this is going to happen at some point?
Yes and no. You know, I don't want to. I've really got no expectations. You know, I think I said that last time I was on the show. I have no expectations. I don't want to get too high or get too low. You know, kind of try and stay in the middle, because if it doesn't happen, I don't want to be disappointed. But if it does, I'll be excited. So I kind of have no expectations. Whatever happens, happens. What I've done is not going to change. That's for sure. You know, my stats aren't going to change. Everything that I've done is out there now. It's just up for the people who do the voting to make their decisions.
Have you sat down with the list and crossed off, all right, this guy doesn't deserve to get in?
I couldn't tell you who's on the list. You know how I found out was, I think I got a, my wife usually looks at social media pretty close. I don't really follow it, but she told me, she goes, oh, you're a finalist, blah, blah. And then I got a couple text messages. So I don't really follow it that closely until someone tells me, or I get a text message, or I'll get some requests for some interviews. That's how I usually find out.
And you've got Dan Pompey, our guy here at The Score, presenting you, right?
Yeah. What I don't think you can really get much better than Dan Pompey. You know, I've known Dan my whole career when I was there. He followed us my whole career. We had some ups and downs, mostly ups, though. Because Dan knows a lot about the game, so when you screw up, he calls you out. He doesn't call you out, but he tells, you know, his articles are right what you did wrong, because he knows. It's frustrating, because he shouldn't be knowing that much stuff. But, you know, I feel really good about my chances of getting in with him speaking on my behalf.
You know, what constitutes a down with a writer? I mean, you just described it as it was with Dan Pompey, but if somebody writes something critical and at least they have the guts to show up and talk to you about it, I mean, does that work for you if they do that?
100% for me. You know what? If you know what you're talking about, I'm okay with that. You know, because there's sometimes guys will say, oh, they were in man coverage and he blew a coverage. No, we weren't. We were in zone. How do you know what coverage we were in? And Dan usually knows what he's talking about, whether it was a zone blitz, a man blitz, or a zone, or a man coverage. He knows what he's talking about. We get some of these guys who write these articles like, oh, he blew a man coverage and his guy caught a touchdown pass. No, that was zone coverage and we busted. You know, just guys who think they know what they're talking about, but they don't. I have a hard time with that. And then when they write something that's wrong, they don't come to you and say something to you about it. You know, after it hits the media, the public, doesn't matter, obviously, because everyone's going to think what they think. But Dan would at least have the courage to come face you after you wrote something, or he was always around and accessible.
See, that's the thing. Like, I've always had respect for certain athletes or coaches or managers or whatever. Like, if you go talk to them afterwards, and they're like, all right, yeah, I was pissed, but everything's cool. It's like, I bet it was that way with players, too. Like, if you got something with a player, you guys got to talk about it.
Well, we know when we screw up. We don't need to be told. You know, I understand. I had no problem with any media or anyone talking bad or saying what I did wrong, because I'll be the first one to tell you when I screw up. I had no problem admitting when I was wrong or when I screwed up. But, you know, when guys kind of call you out and they don't know what they're talking about, then I take issue with that.
Brian Urlacher joining us on The Score. Some of the conversation around this class is that there are two middle linebackers, you and Ray Lewis. Have you and Ray talked?
No, I haven't seen Ray since. Golly, I think the year after we retired, we did a commercial together. I haven't seen him or talked to him since then. I don't do a whole lot, man. I'm kind of a hermit. I play golf, I hang out with my kids, I ride my mountain bike, and that's really about all I do. I just kind of daddy daycare and run my kids to practice. They're so busy, so I don't really get out and do much.
So, okay, because I the thing about the Hall of Fame that drives me as a media person who doesn't have a vote crazy is that people are like, well, there's politics involved and there's this, and well, there's two inside linebackers, so, you know, Urlacher might have to wait for Lewis or vice versa. Do you make anything of that?
I don't understand it, honestly, because there are some guys who are not in who I believe and they really don't really get any consideration that I think should. So you got Zach Thomas. I don't even see Zach's name on the semifinalist or the finalist list in forever. And I look, you know, when it comes out every year, I pay attention a little bit. But that's a guy that it baffles me how he doesn't get in. There's some guys who don't get into their fifth or sixth try, and when at the time they retire, they're second or third in certain categories of their position. Like Chris Carter was second in all-time catches. I think he got on his fifth try. So there's just certain things I don't understand, because if you do, you know, if you're one of the best in your position your whole career, why aren't you in the Hall of Fame? It doesn't matter who you're going in against or anything like that, in my opinion.
Zach Thomas, man, he was a bastard as a middle linebacker.
He was a bad dude. I loved that. You know, I watched him. He went to Texas Tech, and I grew up right by Texas Tech, so I used to watch him in college. And then I watched him when he went to the NFL, and then I got a chance to meet him and become friends with him. So I got a ton of respect for Zach. He was a great player.
I bet he was probably really good at dodgeball in the Dolphins or Cowboys locker room. Don't you think?
Yeah, I'm sure he's a little squatty dude getting out. You know, if I couldn't throw well enough to hit him. Hit the ground first.
We can't stop thinking about dodgeball since you shared that stuff last time. We were talking to you with Manley. And Danny, last time he said who the good dodgeball players were, right?
Yeah.
Like Briggs was good, I think.
And the ringleader.
He's good at everything except baseball when I used to strike him out. But he's just a good athlete. You know, you got guys who are good athletes. Well, wait, Lance isn't good at basketball. I'm sorry. He's a good rebounder and a good defender, but not a great shooter at basketball.
So did Cutler ever play dodgeball? That's a question.
Oh, yeah. He hit me in the chest so hard one day. It was him and Caleb versus me. We were the only three left, and of course, two offensive guys versus me. And I tried to catch one of Jay's balls. I had a big red mark, and I had my shirt off at the time because it was so damn hot in there. So I had a big red mark in the middle of my chest after the game from where Jay hit me.
And he let you know about it too, I'm sure.
No, he was. You know, Jay was fun in the locker room. You know, most of the time when we played games and stuff, he always participated. He always played. He was fun at stuff like that.
Who was the soft target? Like, who was, like, are you playing offense, defense? You're like, all right, I'm going to get this guy out of there because he's easy.
Go for the lineman because most of them can't catch, you know, and they don't move as well as they should. Olin was always pretty good because Olin, even if you hit him, he wouldn't go out. So he stayed in, but it'd always be a big fight. You know, you didn't hit me, hit the ground or whatever. So there'd always be big arguments on who was in and who was out. So we had to get some of the trainers to come kind of officiate there at the end because – you know, some guys wouldn't go out.
Yeah, and who's going to tell Olin Kruth that he's got to get out of the game?
Nobody.
Right.
See,
okay, it didn't hit you. You must be right.
Mr. Kruth.
all those rumors for years of a Cutler Urlacher rift, and yet you took a Cutler dodgeball to the naked chest and just grinned about it.
He blasted me. You know, I thought I had pretty good hands, and I guess I didn't realize how good Jay's arm was. He blasted me right in the chest, man. Well, the problem was him and Caleb left. So I had to look out for both of them. So I thought if I caught Jay's, maybe I'd have a chance to get Caleb out, and it didn't work out very good for me.
Brian Urlacher talking to us for another couple of minutes. He's playing in the Diamond Resorts Invitational. 27 PGA pros, some LPGA pros, Smoltz, Maddox, Glavin, a bunch of celebrities are going to be out there. You can watch all the action January 12th to the 14th on the Golf Channel. Brian, obviously there's been a lot of Bears news since we last talked to you. Do you have a preference for the next Bears coach?
You know, I don't even have they interviewed or talked about interviewing anybody yet?
Yeah, they've interviewed six people.
Oh my gosh! See, I don't get the news. I'm not around. Who all they interviewed?
They interviewed Vic Fangio internally.
Oh, good. I like that one.
George Edwards, the defensive coordinator of the Vikings.
Okay.
And that's then four offensive guys: Pat Shurmur, Josh McDaniels, John DeFilippo, and Matt Nagy.
Okay. See, here's how I look at that. You know, we've had a defensive coach the last, what, 3 or 4 years, and right before Sam, it was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Tressman. So, but he was, you know, I'd like to see them hire a guy from the NFL who's established himself, not a guy from another league or something like that who's established himself. So I like McDaniels. I like, you know, all those guys who coordinators of those high-powered offenses, I think, are good choices. I really like to see Fangio stay, though. I think he's done a great job with that defense. And you know, you never know how new guys come in when they bring in their own staff, who they're going to keep and who they're going to let go. So, but if it's an OC, they're probably not going to have a guy. You know, head coaches usually come in with their own guys, but if you hire an OC, he's not going to have a guy. So maybe he'll keep Coach Fangio.
And you think an offensive guy because of developing Trubisky?
I feel like our defense is good. That's what, you know, our defense has been good for a while. Our last couple of years have gotten better and better. I don't see that changing. You know, they've got the 3-4 scheme in pretty well. Like I said, that's assuming Coach Fangio stays. And I just think you need someone to kind of mix up the offense a little bit. And they were handicapped. I said, they had no receivers. They had no one that was healthy. I'm sorry. They had good players at the end of the season. The guys came around, but they just didn't have anyone who was healthy. It was tough to watch because they had such good running backs with Cohen and Howard. And I thought Mitchell came along nicely. Just get them a couple of receivers, maybe a big tight end. If they can stay healthy, will definitely help.
Yeah, so watching Greg Olsen yesterday, and I'll never forget how Mike Martz
said. Shoulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, right? Mike Martz had no use for him. Don't need a tight end like that in this NFL. 6'5",
260, 4'4", 5'4". That doesn't fit my scheme. Let's get rid of him.
Yeah.
That doesn't fit many people's schemes. You know, a tight end like that doesn't fit in a lot of schemes in the NFL.
Yeah, Martz, he was really ahead of the curve on that one. He really
I was
was
so mad when they traded him. God, I could not believe it. Then he goes to Carolina, of course, Pro Bowls, goes to the Super Bowl. He's playing great. You know, it's just great for him because we knew he was a great player, but it's just frustrating that he's not a Bear.
Hey, did you guys, how often did you interact with Ted Phillips? And did you guys hear about, like, Ted getting in business that he shouldn't get in business in? He's going to be, he was on all these interviews, and it's been a big-time topic of conversation. Ted Phillips in the room with Ryan Pace as they interviewed these guys.
You know, I don't really pay attention to that. You know, I as a player, luckily I only went through two head coaches. You know, I had Coach Jerong and then we had Lovey. So luckily I didn't have to hear about any of that. They made most of the decisions. I'm not sure if he helped interview Lovey or not when he was hired. So I don't know. I don't think the players pay attention to that very much. Ted has his hand in everything there at House Hall. You know, he's the guy that's been there the longest. So I think that there's a reason for that.
And then, you know, Dan Hampton made some waves too. He was talking about the McCaskey family and the good family don't know a lot about football. What was it like playing for an organization with that type of, I guess, front office structure?
Well, they don't coach our football team. You know, I love the McCaskey family. They gave me an opportunity to play professional football. So, I mean, aside from everyone taking shots at them when things don't go the way they want them to, I love playing for them. I love being in that facility every day. They were very respectful to me. My family, and they still are today. So I don't really get all that stuff. They don't make football decisions. You know, that's why you hire your head coach. When Sunday rolls around, the head coach, the defensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator make the decisions, not the McCaskeys. So I don't get all that jazz about them not knowing anything about football. It doesn't matter if they know anything about football. They're not coaching a team on Sunday.
As long as they hire the right guys, right? And it's like, and you look at the past, and there's been some bumpy times, but if Ryan Pace,
you know, yeah, I like Ryan Pace. I think I really wish Foxy was still the head coach. I mean, I know they didn't win a lot of games, but, you know, he didn't. It's tough, man, because they have a ton of injuries. That's no excuse ever. A ton of injuries, and he just couldn't really get his guys in there. You know, he couldn't get the players he wanted in there. He had the players that were there with the coach before him, so you got to live with that for a couple of years. But I just like the way he coached, and I really think him developing with Mitch a couple more years would have been a good thing for the Bears.
Brian, have you decided on who's going to present you at the Hall of Fame when it happens?
Oh, I need to get in first. Let me get in, and then I'll start thinking about that. You're going to jinx me. You know, everyone always talks about, oh, when you get in, like, let me cross that bridge when it gets there. But I there's so many people that had such huge impact on my career, not just professionally. You got high school, you got college, and you get to the NFL. So there's so many people who had a huge impact on the way I played and how I played.
You believe in jinxes?
When it comes to this, I do.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, who am I to question? I'm not up for
the Hall
of Fame.
Looking around for the news. He's letting his wife come across the news or not, right?
I don't sit here and wait for a phone call. I'm like, oh, you made the finalist list. I didn't know what it was coming out. I didn't know when semifinals was coming out. Like I said, I started getting all these requests for interviews, and that's usually how I figure it out.
Well, Brian, we couldn't disagree more on John Fox still being the head coach. But
no, you guys don't like that move.
You know,
I like the move of him getting fired.
It was a real bad 3 years, Brian. It was time.
Lots of games. I know. I mean, so he's a defensive head coach, correct?
Yeah. Defensive head coach.
He's a conservative head coach. You got a young gunslinger quarterback. You gotta get somebody to help the gunslinger evolve.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie. He was a rookie last year. You can't take too many chances with rookies. I thought they did a good job with Mitch. I agree they should have maybe opened it up a little bit more for him earlier. And if he makes mistakes, he makes mistakes. He'll learn from him. But I just like the way they brought him along. I'm so excited for the future for this kid because it's been a long time since we had a quarterback who was young who we think can be what Mitch can be, at least for me personally.
Does he remind you of anyone? Like, what do you think he can be?
I have no idea. We'll see. You know, he runs. The thing I like about him is he's athletic and he can run the football. He can get himself out of trouble in the pocket. Who was a guy? This is a terrible comparison for Mitch, but Bortles ran the ball pretty well in the game yesterday. I'm not comparing him in any way, shape, or form to Blake Bortles, but running wise, I think Blake did a good job getting himself out of trouble yesterday. And Mitch can do the same things, but he throws the ball a lot better, I believe.
So did
I'm not comparing him to him.
I understand.
Any kind of, you know, I don't want to give Mitch a slap in the face or anything, but running-wise, I thought Bortles did a good job yesterday. I think Mitch can do the same type of things.
You know, Mariota did a good job on Saturday, too. We'll throw Mariota
in
there.
Mariota, boom, there you go. That's a great one. Thank you, because Mariota is a stud. He can throw the football. He can run the football. Let's use that one. Forget I said
I mean, people wanted, like, Breeze, Rodgers. You throw out Bortles.
Yeah. Well, no, we'll stick with Mariota.
I was just talking about running the football.
I'm just messing with you, man.
He was fresh in my mind from the two plays I saw in that game the other day. He was He was fresh in my mind, so that was a bad one. Sorry, Mitch.
Yeah. And by the way, we know how it goes with coaches, man. Everybody's going to be compared to Lovie Smith in your mind's eye.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what makes me mad? Not makes me mad, but ever since... So you can say Lovie Smith got fired, they've been downhill. But Jerry Angelo, when they fired Jerry Angelo, you know, they hired that guy who never had a job before in the NFL in the front office.
Phil Emery.
Phil Emery, yeah. He did a great job with the Bears. Not... You know, ever since they got rid of Jerry, you could also say they've had a hard time. And I like Ryan Pace. I think he's done a great job. But, you know, they got rid of Jerry and then they hired Phil and just went downhill from there.
I don't know. I thought the offensive genius from Canada was going to work out great.
He just won another Grey Cup. Right. He just won again.
Is he back up there?
Yeah, he just won another one. They should bring him back.
He's a great Canadian coach.
He's a great.
Didn't work out in the NFL for him. Well, you know what? He had some good years. Was it San Fran?
Yeah, but never as a head coach. We, you know, some of us nerds liked the idea because he was like a weirdo and a brainiac. But you got to be all football-y to really be a head coach, don't you?
You got to know a little bit about both sides of football, I believe.
That makes sense. Who do you like in the Super Bowl?
Are they playing already?
No, I just a little prediction out of you. Handicap. Put some stakes on it.
Man, I don't know. It's so hard to pick. Who's going to be the Patriots is what I want to know. Who's going to beat them at Foxborough or in the Super Bowl? I'm kind of liking Atlanta a little bit right now at the NFC. So I'll pick Atlanta and New England. Rematch in the Super Bowl. How about that? I'm crazy.
You're wild and crazy, Brian.
But I like Minnesota and I like New Orleans as well.
Sure. All right,
I like everybody.
You have four of those, eight teams that are left. That sounds good.
Yeah, let me pick. I also like Tennessee.
Well, you love Blake Bortles, clearly. You like Pittsburgh.
I was just throwing a running comparison out there. I did. Make sure that doesn't get twisted in that Chicago media market.
Oh, yeah, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
Running comparison.
That's the headline on our website coming out of this article. Future Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher thinks Mitch Trubisky could be Blake Bortles.
Oh, gosh. You know someone's going to say that. Guaranteed.
Watch him January 12th to the 14th on the Golf Channel, the Diamond Resorts Invitational. Brian, this was fun. We'll talk to you when you're in the Hall of Fame.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Urlacher on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Plenty to react to there. Bruce Levine wants to come on with a hot stove update at 11 o'clock. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Wait a minute. Is that what I'm saying?
We have
right
some breaking news.
We'll get back to that conversation another time.
One report. Adam Johns, according to my source, the Bears are going to name Matt Nagy their new head coach.
Wow.
That is working fast for Ryan Pace. That would be one interview, no second interview for Matt Nagy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, six total interviews conducted by Ryan Pace, no second interview for Nagy, at least that we've been reported on. And according to the Sun Times and Bears beat reporter Adam Johns, Ryan Pace has selected Matt Nagy to be the Bears' new head coach.
Wow. Let's let this register for a second. In my thought process, I had liked the idea of DeFilippo, liked the idea of Shermer. I was ready to live with the idea of McDaniels. I did not think this was a direction they were going to go, but it does fit the profile of up and coming offensive mind. That's for sure. With play calling experience coming out of a terrific system in terms of grooming quarterbacks that Andy Reid has done.
And I can tell you that in Kansas City, they liked Mahomes and Trubisky. They liked the mobile, strong-armed quarterback over Watson, and they were hoping that it was going to be like, I don't know if they preferred Trubisky to Mahomes, mm-hmm. but they ended up and they traded up to be sure that they could get one of the two, and they ended up getting Pat Mahomes.
And it was reported earlier this week that Nagy loved Trubisky. Now imagine if you're in that meeting and Ryan Pace, who still obviously loves Trubisky, is talking to a coach who also loves Trubisky. You have a tendency to look for guys who are like-minded, and in this particular sense, some confirmation gets going in there, confirmation bias, you could argue, possibly for Ryan Pace. But all right, he's found his guy. It is Matt Nagy, offensive coordinator of the Chiefs.
He's been with Andy Reid his entire NFL career. He was in Delaware. He played at the Arena Football League. That's the level of professional ball. So he is a former quarterback. He has been a play caller for all of five regular season games. The last five games of the Chiefs season, they went 4-1. They averaged 28.6 points per game. Mm-hmm. And then presumably the playoff game. But I can tell you again from being in Kansas City, Andy Reid helps out his coordinators in their job pursuit. He did it with Doug Peterson and he did it with Matt Nagy. It's not as if Andy Reid was not involved in the play calling and completely turned over the reins to Matt Nagy, but
he plays
it up in order to help him move along. And I'm sure that Matt Nagy did have more of a role in it, but it's not as if he was the exclusive architect of the offense.
In their epic collapse on Saturday, the Chiefs did not give the ball to the NFL's leading rusher in the final 48 minutes of that game.
Well, it was five carries in the final 48
minutes. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was 11 carries total, five carries
in the
last 48 minutes against the top five run defense. I have a few things that I know about Matt Nagy from people I've been talking to in Kansas City. I can give you that on the other side. If this report is true, and we have no reason at this point to believe that it's not, we're waiting for either a second source or a confirming report. This fits the profile of young, offensive mind, likes Trubisky, quarterback developer. I always said, like, Shurmur felt safe to me. Right. McDaniels had the experience. Nagy and DeFilippo are very similar. Those are young guys, limited play calling experience, a ton of upside. This is trying to find your next Sean McVay.
Absolutely. And it fits Ryan Pace's MO of going for it, of gambling and going for it and being unafraid. The play calling and the way that fell apart on Saturday is a much more relevant conversation. We had it a little bit in the first hour. Was Andy Reid taking over on play calls as they did not give the ball to Kareem Hunt very much there in the second half? Some people think that's the case, or that Reid was involved the entire way. Does it change your perspective on a possible head coaching candidate when he has a bad half of a playoff game? It is the final taste for him as a Kansas City Chief. We both were a no on that, possibly because Reid was involved. But look overall at the body of work. It's fascinating. It follows a few different blueprints. The Sean McVay blueprint, as we've been talking about all year long, and also the Andy Reid successors. The Andy Reid coaching tree has been very, very effective. Guys who have left Andy Reid have gone other places and succeeded, most recently Doug Peterson with Carson Wentz in Philly. So there's a lot to be excited about with this. We'll have to get to know more about Matt Nagy as a person. I am surprised. I probably would have had it third or fourth on my depth chart of guesses if you asked me at the top of this morning.
I think most people are a bit surprised. 312-644-6767. We will do an update, but no break. We're obviously going to cancel Bruce Levine. I am texting with people in Kansas City right now, so I'll see what type of information I can get out of there. And I got one person who at least is going to work on a confirmation for me to see if we can confirm the Adam Johns report from the Sun-Times. My initial impression of it is you can't hate it, and there's a huge amount of upside, right? This is not a safe hire. This is an astronomical, meteoric rise through the coaching ranks for Matt Nagy, because he's been with one head coach his entire NFL career in Andy Reid, and he's been on very experienced coaching staffs until this season in terms of the offensive side of the ball. He's been with Doug Peterson. He's been with Brad Childress. He's been with Andy Reid. This is a meteoric rise for a very young head coach in terms of responsibility, but Alex Smith did have the best season of his career.
And why did he have the best season of his career? Because he was forced and or convinced to go down the field. And don't we all want to see Mitch Trubisky go down the field?
Right. And part of that is a product of circumstance, because he has a healthy Travis Kelce and he had a healthy Tyreek Hill and he had Kareem Hunt.
He's got weapons that hopefully Mitchell Trubisky will have some semblance of moving forward.
The hope is that, you know, Adam Shaheen is the Travis Kelce. And the hope is that Tariq Cohen is the Darren Sproles from New Orleans, and he's not quite Kareem Hunt as a runner. But you know what? Frankly, you've got the between the tackles runner. Like, Kareem Hunt's a dual threat type of back.
Right.
You in theory have the between the tackle runner and Howard and the pass catcher and Cohen.
They need their Tyreek Hill. And they need more than that.
Yes, they need their number one receiver. And Tyreek Hill takes the top off the defense. So he is, like, safeties do not come in the box against the Chiefs. It makes it easier for Kareem Hunt to run, and it makes play action easier, because Tyreek Hill's one of the five fastest players in the sport, so he takes the top off of the defense.
There's a big factor here which we can discuss more on the other side and have to dig into, and that is the timing in regards to Vic Fangio. At midnight tonight, Vic Fangio becomes a coaching free agent, and while he is still obviously empowered to do so, we know that Vic Fangio very much wants to be a head coach. The Bears would love Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator and stay with whatever offensive mind that they bring in. We had heard a report that John DeFilippo would work with Vic Fangio. I don't know if Matt Nagy said yes to that. I wonder how Fangio feels about Matt Nagy and if those conversations have taken place. This being the final day where the Bears have contractual control, Vic Fangio might partially explain the expediency here and, with the move.
And Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport have both confirmed Adam Johns' report. Great scoop by Adam Johns of the Sun Times. That's a monster scoop
it
for
is.
Him. But now confirmed by both Schefter and Rappaport that Matt Nagy is the next head coach of the Chicago Bears. No break. We're back after an update right here on The Score. It is Spiegel and Parkins on The Score, brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere. Adam Johns with a huge scoop from the Sun Times that Matt Nagy is the next head coach of the Bears, the 39-year-old offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. Ryan Pace now has until tomorrow to lock up Vic Fangio or try to convince him to stay. Don't know if that's possible. If I'm Vic Fangio and I'm 24 hours away from coaching free agency, I want to hit free agency. But obviously the headline here is one of the youngest general managers in the sport got now who is one of the youngest head coaches in the sport to coach one of the youngest quarterbacks in the sport. The Bears have a young nucleus on offense in Pace, Trubisky, and now Matt Nagy.
And you asked earlier whether Ryan Pace's choice would reflect his tendencies in terms of player acquisition. Look what he's done in the draft, trading up for Leonard Floyd, identifying Leonard Floyd, trading up, identifying Mitch Trubisky, trading up, regardless of success level in terms of how good you think Trubisky is going to be. This fits what he has shown is his MO. Aggressively went out, found a young, exciting guy, at least to him, and has gone for it. In terms of the head coaching openings, John Gruden gets that job in Oakland. Matt Patricia is still not confirmed as head coach in Detroit.
Right. It seems like it's going to be the case, though.
But this is, so the Bears move first here. The Bears move first among like real, genuine openings. Oakland was going to be Gruden or nobody. And when they fired Del Rio, it was almost assuredly going to be Gruden. This is exciting on a lot of levels. It really is. You know, we'll get to know Matt Nagy more, but you look at what made Kansas City's offense go this year, and it was aggression, especially when they lost it in the middle of the year. And Andy Reid said, turned over play calling to Matt Nagy. They had a very nice run and established that lead in the first half on Saturday. This is definitely what I wanted in terms of a young, aggressive, offensive mind who has a reputation for working well with quarterbacks. And all year long, supposedly he worked with both the veteran Alex Smith and the rookie Pat Mahomes. And now he'll be the guy to help Mitchell Trubisky reach that potential.
There's no reason to hate the hire. We want to hear from you on it. 312-644-6767. Think about what the Bears just did. They were aggressive in identifying and selecting a young, up-and-coming offensive coach who, based on all indications through action and words and various media reports, loves your hand-selected franchise quarterback. What more can you ask for? We'll see. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know exactly whether or not Matt Nagy is going to be great or not. I'm not going to sit here and tell you whether or not I know that Ryan Pace is going to deserve that second contract or not. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be able to sit here and tell you that Mitch Trubisky is going to be a great player or not. But I know this. It all makes sense. And it all aligns. And they're all now lined up on the exact same. We succeed together. We fail together. No more mishmash, hodgepodge, mm-hmm. old guy, young guy, consultant, defensive side of the ball, offensive side of the ball.
Man.
The GM traded up and selected a quarterback, and then he found a quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, young offensive mind who liked that quarterback, and he paired them all up together, and he did it before he could interview other places.
He did it before he could go anywhere and get a second interview. He did it before other teams had a chance to lock him in. This is...
Fortune favors the bold.
This is absolutely, and this is akin to identifying who you think is the best quarterback in the draft and trading up and getting him. I mean,
correct.
This really is.
Correct.
This is the same kind of animal, and they are both very un-Bears-like. This is un-Bears-like. For all of us...
But it's not un-Ryan Pace-like.
No, it isn't.
It's not un-Ryan Pace-like.
For all of us who have bemoaned the past and bemoaned Ted Phillips' involvement, and, you know, I was very loud on that, and we'll see. And Pat Manley came in the other day and said, nothing has changed. Well, this hire... combined with the drafting of Mitchell Trubisky does feel like things have changed. Like it is an empowered Ryan Pace doing whatever the hell he wants here.
And
this does feel like that.
It should, of course. And it's a young offensive coach who Ryan Pace is staking his reputation on, and he's staking the development of Mitch Trubisky on.
Mm.
It's an incredibly impactful hire. It's a bold hire. And we'll see if he keeps Fangio. I look at that as a secondary story in all of this, obviously, because they found the offensive guy who's hopefully going to groom and develop Mitch Trubisky. And if you are concerned about not giving the ball to Kareem Hunt in the second half against the Titans...
As you should be.
It's to a point. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons when they blew a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, and he got a 6-year contract from the 49ers, and he looked good as soon as he got his quarterback in Garoppolo.
And the 49ers would not undo that move if you asked them to, and no 49er fan would undo that move.
Correct. Doug Peterson's last audition, if you will, before getting the Philly job was orchestrating one of the worst end-of-game sequences in recent NFL playoff history when the Chiefs were down 14 driving in Foxborough against the Patriots, and they took an insanely long time and acted like they were down one score and said after the game, I just didn't want to give the ball back to Tom Brady. It was a complete bumbling and an embarrassing effort, and Doug Peterson got the job, and everyone in Philly would be happy about it.
You know, if you need your Bears pessimism... if you are used to it and you refuse to let it go, you have opportunities here. We're seeing a lot of it via the text line. Great, the Bears hired the choker from Saturday afternoon. Great, the Bears hired the guy who engineered that enormous collapse on Saturday afternoon. Danny just gave you the examples of other offensive coordinators having terrible final moments right before they went and got jobs and have done well. But look, the pessimism is available. I'm not pessimistic about this hire at all. My pessimism has been right there and available as I've seen Ted Phillips and been triggered by Ted talking about everything. But this just reeks of Ryan Pace. This is the way that he does business. For better or for worse, he's got the quarterback he wanted. Now he's got the coach he wanted. Now we get a chance to see if it'll actually work. Away from John Fox, away from the conservatism, away from people who are unqualified to run an offense and Dowell Loggins. Let's see who Nagy gets as his staff. Working with Andy for a lot of time. There's a lot of Andy assistants out there, but a lot of them are already working. So,
well, and you know, in terms of actions over words, right? Like, I truly believe that you can do this job in the NFL without ever listening to a press conference because you can just read their actions. What do the actions tell you about Ryan Pace's intentions with Vic Fangio? Because it tells me he intends to keep him.
Bears have made it official, by the way.
Bears have made the Nagy hire official?
Man,
okay,
man,
great.
That's moving fast.
It's moving very fast. Now, let's obviously keep an eye out. He's been eliminated. He could be here today. But you know what I mean? He might have never left. Like, they might have flown back with him. The press conference could be soon if they're making it that official. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be very soon. But what does it tell you? He hired an offensive young coach very quickly. Before Fangio officially is eligible to interview with other teams, and he blocked Fangio from interviewing with the Bengals. Tells me, just reading actions, Ryan Pace is looking to keep Vic Fangio.
Absolutely, and he's got a day here to talk to him and maybe get Nagy and Fangio together if they have not been together.
Exactly.
A day
right.
to negotiate. There's no cap on hiring coaches. You could throw as much money as you want. Maybe you got away with paying Matt Nagy a little bit less than you might have, say, Josh McDaniels or some other coach, and you can move that money over to Vic Fangio.
And you probably want. Did. You
probably did.
Right? I mean, Pace is locked up for 4 more years, so this is probably not a 6-year deal. For a first-time head coach, he's making, again, we're talking about the rapid ascension and the jump and all of that. Matt Nagy's not going to be that highly paid of a coach. You should have money to throw resources at his coaching staff in order to... And being the top defensive voice in the building, Like, if the Bears were to have success, win playoff games, win an NFC, get to the Super Bowl, and it was because of the strength of their defense, Vic Fangio, even without being the head coach, would get a tremendous amount of credit for it because it wouldn't go to Matt Nagy.
Well, not only,
he's the top defensive mind in the organization if he stays.
As you're selling it to Vic Fangio today, as we both assume that they are, you're saying, look, and maybe Matt Nagy's saying it with you, I'm going to run the offense, Vic, but you are the man in charge. Your track record speaks for itself. Your ideas, your concepts. You don't have to work with a defensive-minded head coach who's done your job before in John Fox. You don't have to interfere or expect him to interfere. I'm going to come into the room and talk to you, but that's your defense, man. You go. You do you. There definitely is something very appealing about that. And it depends how Vic Fangio feels about Mitch Trubisky. He's watched him in practice. He's practiced against him all year long. Does he feel like that guy's ready to take the next step?
Just as the businessman in me thinks it'd be crazy for Fangio to accept and not explore free agency. But if his agent tells you, hey, there's no head coaching gigs out there, and then his agent says, hey, this is what the top five defensive coordinators in the NFL make, and then the Bears say, we're willing to pay you that,
right,
then maybe he doesn't need to explore. Right? Like that's the only way you keep Fangio away from free agency 24 hours before he's a coaching free agent.
Is there a California-based defensive coordinator job open right now? I saw the rumor that Paul Gunther was going to go with John Gruden to Oakland. I don't know if that's official or not, but
They're moving to Vegas.
Right, but we have heard that Fangio at this point in his life, according to Hub, who talked a lot with him this year about these kind of things, is enamored with the idea of living in California as he has for a lot of his coaching career, and his roots are in the Bay Area.
Correct.
So if that's there for Fangio, somebody just sent this to me. This was Andy Reid on play calling after the game. And just like you were saying how Andy is very good to his offensive assistants as they are in the market for jobs, he was asked who called the plays that went well and did not. He said, Nagy called the good ones and I called the bad ones.
See, I told you, Andy Reid falls on the grenade for these guys, man. That's what he does. He's
got plenty to spare.
Yeah, it's the exact same playbook that he ran
for
Doug Peterson. It was midway through the season.
That's classic.
He leaked out that Doug Peterson started the coach plays. Then Peterson got all these media requests. And then people started talking about Peterson as a head coaching candidate.
Yeah.
And then he got the job. Where did he get the job? Where Andy Reid used to coach in Philly. And now he's just did the exact same thing for Matt Nagy.
Even though Andy hasn't been here.
Andy Reid hasn't. But I'm talking about in terms of grooming guys, coming up on a coaching tree, taking a lot of pride in your assistants, getting promoted.
Look, I see a lot of negativity out there because of your knee-jerk reaction, because of your Bears muscle memory. And sure, go ahead.
This isn't a home run hire. It's not going to move the needle, all that stuff.
It should for some very simple reasons. And I know, and this is adding Saturday in. Go back when you get a chance. And watch offensive highlights of the Chiefs, or think back to the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season when we were all saying maybe they're the best team in the NFL. And we were praising Andy Reid like crazy for the design, the options in that offense, the different things that they do. Nagy is schooled in this stuff and was a part of the install of all this stuff. You talk about utilizing talent in a way that gives them a chance to make big plays. Oh my God, the offensive creativity. If you've been frustrated seeing Jordan Howard run a stretch play, you've been frustrated seeing Trubisky's athleticism not get used in the red zone. This guy knows how to use a mobile quarterback as he has with Alex Smith this year more than ever. And what they've done as an offense this year, and even in past years with Alex Smith and his limitations, my God, more than 3,000 yards and 5 interceptions for some of those years. This year, more than 4,000 yards, 5 interceptions again. And just schematically, a modern, forward-thinking, very, very effective offense. Creativity. We haven't had it. We're going
to
have it.
We'll get some people on from Kansas City who know him. We'll talk to the guys during the break, see what we want to do there. We've had Therese Paylor, the beat writer, on before, so we can bring up some of that. It is official. There will be a press conference tomorrow. Matt Nagy is the new head coach. We'll see if Vic Fangio stays on as the defensive coordinator. But the rapid ascension of Matt Nagy, now a 39-year-old head coach with Ryan Pace and Mitch Trubisky, that is your new offensive brain trust in the Chicago Bears. They will either sink or swim based on the collective successes or failures of that triumvirate. Pace, Trubisky, and now Matt Nagy. Your reaction next. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Ryan Pace talking about Mitch Trubisky under a new coach. Audio brought to you by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with golden flaky crust, all for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger licking good. It's a bold move. It's a quick move. He's a young coach with a good pedigree who reportedly really likes Mitch Trubisky, and we'll see. Like, it's a huge gamble. It's a rapid rise through the coaching ranks, and now you got a young GM, a young quarterback, and a young offensive coach, and the Bears will either sink or swim with the success of those three.
Fortune favors the bold, as you've said, as we've said. Ryan Pace identifies his man and doesn't give anybody else a chance to get them first. And he may be wrong. And if he's wrong, then he will get fired. Everybody will get fired, and onward you go. But man, for the first time ever, the Bears took the first quarterback in the entire NFL draft. And now they have hired a young offensive assistant coach before anybody else has hired a young offensive assistant coach. In an offseason where everyone is looking for the next Sean McVay, right? Everybody's looking for that next guy. He identified who that was in his mind and gave him the damn job right away. It may fail, but man, I will take that approach. I will take that boldness any day of the week, and we'll see how it goes.
First person who's gotten back to me on it from Kansas City. He's so awesome, so down to earth. You'll love him. As an aside, he's a Philly guy. We both love Yingling. So as we start to get some of the color around him.
I'm sold.
Yeah, good taste, right? I'm Fat Podcast. We signing off on Yingling?
On Yingling? Yingling's a beer.
I know.
Okay.
Well, it's a delicious beer, okay. Is the point. I go to them for taste testing of all kinds.
I can't recall the taste, the flavor profile of Yingling off the top of my head.
All right. Well, we're putting it out there. We're learning together about the new coach, and obviously, I've got a lot of insight into the Chiefs' offense.
Yeah, you got peoples there, man. This should be your guy.
Well, I wasn't going to advocate on him just for that, but professionally speaking, it's not going to be a bad thing for us. 312-644-6767. We've got a text to see if he'll come on before the press conference,
Which is tomorrow, by the way. Time to be announced.
Correct, Matt on the South Side. What do you think? Matt Nagy's the new head coach of the Bears.
That's a good hire. I think any hire would have been good for the Bears. I mean, they were going to hire a young coordinator. They weren't going to get Caldwell. They weren't going to get somebody who's already been a coach. So any of the young coordinators that are out there would have been a good fit for the Bears. So the question is more about Bears ownership, organization, and how Fangio feels about them. You're talking about whether or not Fangio is going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be less about the money, because he's going to get top five coordinator money no matter where he goes. It's more about how he feels about this organization, and that means ownership, how the organization is being run. Of course, Ryan Pace, his relationship with the players, I'm sure, is solid. But we're about to learn, in Fangio's decision, whether or not the Bears are changing as an organization from the ownership down, or if they're still the same old Bears. If Fangio bolts, then I think that's a sign that he doesn't like organizationally the way this team is being run. Other thing is, let's not get too excited about this hire. I'm sure the guy is great. We're talking about a quarterback that's going to have to learn a whole new system.
Sure.
So we're still 2 years off before we're going to see, like, the Super Bowl or deep in the playoffs, guys.
Thanks for the call, Matt. Lots of good stuff in there. Let's think about the Fangio thing and Fangio's impending decision as to how it reflects on the organization. Now that John Fox has been removed, it's really about how Fangio feels about Pace on down in terms of the organization, right? Pace and Nagy, and whether he has opportunities that are just simply parallel. If they're just parallel, to go be a defensive coordinator in Green Bay, staying in the cold and working with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's appealing, obviously, to have the Aaron Rodgers factor. But if there's no California defensive coordinator job and there's no head coaching job, then, you know, you have to try and find a way to make this even more appetizing. How about associate head coach or assistant head coach for Vic Fangio? If he cares about such things, that's another thing you could put on the table today with him.
Yeah, you could dangle that carrot out there. The appeal to keeping Fangio now, or the pitch to keep Fangio, is simple. You're the top defensive mind in our organization.
Unfettered.
No one will mess with you. You get to have continuity. we're probably, let's be honest, like we're going to have to start investing a little bit more draft capital in that side of the ball because we can't invest less than we've done the last 2 years.
And your thoughts on exactly what you need for this defense draft-wise are welcome in the room.
Right. You're the top defensive voice now. So instead of going to John Fox for what does the defense need, we go to you for what the defense needs. Mm-hmm. You want the associate head coach title? Cool. You want to be a top five defensive coordinator in the NFL? Cool. But I also will say, don't freak out if they lose Fangio. It'd be nice to keep him. And especially because Nagy is young and we'll see how much difficulty he has putting together the staff. But the Nagy hire is more significant and impactful than retaining Fangio.
Yes, I agree. I tell you this much. I don't want Matt Nagy to have to worry about the defense too much. So that's part of what's so appealing about it. As we continue down the Sean McVay road, once they got Wade Phillips, he doesn't have to worry about the defense. Let Wade Phillips handle that. And by the way, they had superior defensive talent to what the Bears have.
Correct.
But there are guys out there who could come in and run a 3-4 effectively to the point that Matt Nagy doesn't have to worry about it too much. I would like it to be Fangio. He has the track record. And he has the gravitas already in that room.
I would like it to be Fangio, too.
Really would.
Just and not even so that Nagy doesn't have to worry about the defensive side of the ball, just so that that's the biggest coaching vacancy that he would need to hire, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of putting together his staff, you figure Nagy, he's just an offensive coordinator. He can handle the offense, and people will want to come work for, get promoted to offensive coordinator and title and all of that. How many guys does he know? Like who would Matt Nagy's first choice be to be the Bears' defensive coordinator? My guess is it's someone who's nowhere near as qualified as Vic Fangio, right?
We'll have to see.
Fairly safe to assume.
Who has been in Philly when he was there with Andy Reid and maybe moved on to greener pastures. We'll check those coaching teams and those rosters from years past.
We will get to your call. Zach Zaidman going to hop on, and still waiting on some texts back from Kansas City as well. It's Spiegel and Parkins. Matt Nagy is the new Bears coach. No break, but after the update, we're back on the score. That is Therese Paylor, beat writer for The Star, who during the three technique endorsed Matt Nagy as the Bears' next head coach. That was last week or the week before. Adam Johns reported that Nagy is the coach. That has now been confirmed. Rich Campbell, our friend and beat writer from the Tribune, said, look for Bears incumbent quarterback coach Dave Ragone to remain on Matt Nagy's staff. Not only did the Bears respect his work with Trubisky, but also Rags and Nagy share the same agent. Mm. So in terms of coaching staff continuity, and I would have no problem with that.
No, if it's a quarterback coach who, because look, some of the basics that Trubisky had to learn, he did well on learning this year.
And the continuity is valuable.
Sure.
Just for a quarterback,
absolutely.
Right? If he's got to learn a new system, if you can have another of the same voices in the room. That's why I'm interested in the conversation of what do you pay Mark Sanchez? What would you pay Mark Sanchez to just be the third string quarterback on the team next year, just to have that player voice in the room? So there's a little more continuity there.
I want to know who the offensive coordinator is. As you look around at what's happened in Philly, they've talked about it as a quarterback incubator where you've got Peterson and Reich and DeFilippo and others who have been quarterbacks and all know how to do it. You're going to keep a Dave Ragone as a quarterback coach for continuity. That's one. That's great. Whoever that offensive coordinator is that Matt Nagy hires needs to be another guy. And preferably a guy who is called plays, just so he and Matt Nagy can bounce that off. And there's more than one option on staff, that kind of thing. But I don't have a problem with keeping Dave Ragone as long as there's another guy on staff as well in between them. Ragone, not for offensive coordinator, right? Was that
it? Just says
to?
Retained on his staff, so I would assume as QB coach. But we'll see. It said the share the same agent, and it's an expectation from Rich Campbell. Herb on the south side is on the score. What's up, Herb?
Hey, Herb.
Say what you want about Ryan Pace. He's been very consistent, man. He went all in on Ryan Pace, on Mitch Trubisky. And I think that he knows that Mitch Trubisky has to get on a Hall of Fame trajectory or it's a busted pick. And everything he's done since then has been to back that up. He went out in a defensive-loaded draft. He took four offensive guys. And then you look at the timing of this thing. He lets you know that, hey, I trust Vic Fangio. And I'm going to do everything I can to bring him back. And then you bring in Matt Nagy, and now you guys just said he's probably going to retain Dave Ragone. Everything he's done is to make sure that Mitch Trubisky gets the return on that investment that he anticipates, because to me, he has to be on that Hall of Fame trajectory or it's a busted pick. And whether you think he can get there or not doesn't matter. Ryan Pace believes so, and everything he's done has backed that up.
Every decision needs to be about the development and education of Mitch Trubisky. And last year, Herb, it often was not. in terms of what happened on game days. And it drove me freaking crazy because I didn't care about wins or losses. It was about whether you were serving the greater good, and everything going forward will be about that. Go ahead, Herb.
That was the only decision that he hasn't made. The only decision he hasn't made was John Fox. Not that he completely wasn't on board with it, but it wasn't his decision solely. Every other decision since then has been his decision. I think that he was willing to waste $20 million just to throw the scent off of everybody, knowing that he was going to take Mr. Trubisky to the top of the draft. I already got a quarterback from that. Now everybody doesn't know that I have to take one number two. I think he was willing just to waste that $20 million just to make sure he can get his guy, and then he still traded up to go get him.
Yeah.
He was all in on that guy for a long time, and he continues to be.
You're talking about Mike Glennon. Look, I think they wanted Mike Glennon just to be a shield to keep Trubisky from having to play too soon, a shield so Mitch could learn everything that he needed to learn, and then Glennon was just so bad that it forced their hand, and they played Trubisky sooner than they wanted to. But I agree with the excitement about the pick in terms of Pace's aggressiveness and in terms of what the entire organization needs to be about, and that's the development of your quarterback.
This is from someone at the Chiefs, just texted me. First of all, it's Nagy.
Good to know.
Not Nagy, so we got that out of the way.
I lived this with the Cleveland Indians pitching staff in the 90s and the early aughts already.
He says it happens both ways all the time. He's not offended by it. People say it both ways, but it is Nagy. More competent than Doug Peterson is what I just got texted from. So in terms of a coaching from a coaching candidate perspective who had been in that organization, this is someone who worked there under both with both, I should say, not to put away there to give away too much of the rank or whatever, but around the Chiefs organization, more competent than Doug Peterson.
Love that. Andy Reid, by the way, has told people that Nagy.
Yeah, we're gonna have to relearn it.
Nagy is the best head coaching prospect he has ever had. That's what Andy Reid has said, and we know he does blow smoke, but there you are with somebody who's worked with both of them under Andy Reid, who says that Nagy is more competent than Doug Peterson. Makes me think about our guy Michael Lombardi and what he thinks of Doug Peterson. And yeah. I always had to eat that one along the way this year, but remember, there's a lot of people there helping Carson Wentz be great.
Chris Mortensen reporting that Nagy will also be the play caller, which we, of course, assumed, and the Bears would like to keep Vic Fangio, but they know that Fangio has a lot of options. So there we go.
Okay.
As we continue to work through all of this, the Bears have until tomorrow, right? Tuesday. And again, read their actions. They denied Vic Fangio the opportunity to interview early for the Bengals defensive coordinator position. They're going to try to keep Fangio.
Look,
I don't know if they'll be successful, but they're going to try to keep him.
We've all had moments where we look back and say, man, I was excited and a little bit optimistic about the Mark Trestman hire. Man, I was excited and a little bit optimistic about the John Fox hire. And here we are, excited and a little bit optimistic. At least I am excited and certainly optimistic about Matt Nagy. Now, granted, some of that is my nature or maybe a lot of people's nature when it comes to sports. But some of it is just, this is the sensibility of this moment. I have wanted, who's that Sean McVay? Who was the young quarterback whisperer, offensive mind, passionate, loves the freaking game, ready to communicate and sell his offense to Trubisky and to everybody else. And all the reports that we're getting about Nagy is that he could be that guy.
Well, you and remember what I was telling you, and we've been talking about Nagy for weeks now, even though I was calling him Nagy, about the thing that concerned me the most.
The meteoric rise.
Everybody loved him, but the meteoric rise. Let me put that into context for you, okay? Because now a third person has just reached out to me from Kansas City, all right? Family man. Left a high-paying job to work for Peanuts with Reed in Philly with four young kids. Gambled on himself. Now he's a head coach less than 10 years later. Darren Revell tweeting, he is a case study in taking risks. 8 years ago, he left his job in real estate to take a lesser-paying job as an assistant coach for quality control with the Eagles, helping the team build the playbook. Today, named head coach of the Bears. So think about that. 8 years ago, selling real estate. Four kids, goes to the bottom of the Eagles organization,
works his way up,
and is now the head coach. So it is a risky hire. It is a bold hire. It is a high ceiling hire.
These guys hire versions of themselves, don't they?
Of course.
That's what Emery did with Trestman. He found a version of himself, outsider, never given a chance, mercurial, thought to be too cerebral and not quite football-y enough. That was Emery before he's given a chance, and then that he went out and got Trestman, and here's Ryan Pace.
We're really trying to grow the man.
Yeah, you know, here and Ryan Pace goes out and finds a young, precocious, aggressive risk taker.
Yep,
with a passion for
himself.
Who bets on himself?
Quick rise through the ranks.
Oh man,
all that stuff
for better or for worse.
Yeah,
you better like the boss that you have hired, because he's going to hire guys who remind him of themselves. Man.
People are going to talk themselves into this. And here's the thing. When the Bears drafted Trubisky, there was not nearly as much buzz in this town as I thought there was going to be. And we were there at the first day of training camp, and there was not nearly as much buzz at training camp as I thought there would be because of ingrained old Bears skepticism and cynicism that is well-earned. It hasn't worked in the past, so why would I think it's going to work now? And I'm not telling you that you're wrong, that this one is going to not work out. Like the math is in the critics' favor, as I like to say.
It always is.
But
usually.
You cannot argue that this is the same old Bears. You can't do it.
No, this is different.
This is a young GM who traded up and drafted a quarterback higher than the organization ever had before, who played 12 games as a rookie, who threw over 300 passes as a rookie, who threw over 30 passes in 7 of his last 9 games. Then he got rid of the defensive coach, and there was no consultant, and there was one interview, and they were the first team to hire a coach other than the Raiders, which, you know, we knew that one was weird. 6 interviews done back to back to back to back.
No second interviews. When's the last time the Bears or any team really went through like one interview on all these people and then said, okay, that's it. Got my guy. Thanks.
Right. I mean, for all we know, that there was 2 days of interviews. That's possible, right? Nagy's done on Saturday night.
So he could have talked to him again yesterday.
Could have talked.
They did. Reports are that they did.
Yeah, Sunday was the day of the interview. Could have been all day. Could have been today, this morning, something like that. But obviously very fast with Matt Nagy.
For as much as we worried about Phillips and George being there, that's probably why, just to make this an expeditious process.
Right. Go in on the first hire. Don't wait for the second one. We're going to try to get out in front of this, identify the guy and all that. Also, here's another thing just to think about. No way Nagy was on Pace's list the first time around, right? That'd be impossible.
No.
3 years ago?
No.
Well, I mean, there was some talk about that. If Pace was going to figure out a way to identify who he liked before, you know, and he likes Dan Quinn, and then...
right, we know he liked Dan Quinn.
And then
that
John
was...
Fox comes in before. Uh-huh. But we've talked with Hub about how he had a list and whether or not he was going to circle back around to guys on that list. No way Nagy was far along enough in his coaching career to be on that initial list for Ryan Pace.
Well, Nagy, 3 years ago, I mean, Nagy was the quarterback's coach up until 2016. He's only been the offensive coordinator for 2 years now, Matt Nagy. So as a quarterback's coach, as inconsistent or inexperienced as he was at the time, probably not. Boy, it's, you know, these guys... They get in that room and they talk about, oh, you like Trubisky? I like Trubisky too. Oh, you're aggressive? I'm aggressive too. Oh, you like doing that? I like doing that too. Let's go. At least he's identified his guy and gone and got his guy. And I'm excited just because of the creativity that Kansas City offense, man. It's just, it has been so much fun to watch them. Chris from Naperville texted in. I was watching the Chiefs game. Have seen them before, admiring their offense, formations, movement, play development, setups, only hoping the Bears offense would be like that someday. Think about some of the stuff that got you going in the early part of the year, whether you'd see the shovel forward after they fake the shovel back, utilizing Travis Kelce. Having a weapon like Kelce at tight end and finding different ways to get him involved, a screen, a reverse screen, you know, the fake screen to one side, a screen back to Kelce on the other side, all the different ways they've gotten Tyreek Hill down the field and open. Yeah, he's fast. That helps an awful lot. But the ways that they've done that, this will be a creative offense. And we'll see how long it takes Matt Nagy to get it into Mitch Trubisky's head. But he's got a nice long offseason to do it.
Tons of your reaction coming at Spiegel and Parkins. The Bears have a new head coach. This is The Score.
You're listening to the best of Spiegel and Parkins podcast. Like what you're hearing? Be sure to tell a friend about the show. Spiegel and Parkins, 9 a.m. to 1 on 670 The Score.
Let's go back to the Grossinger Auto Group hotline. Welcome on a buddy of mine, former Chiefs guard, Jeff Schwartz, played for a bunch of different teams in the NFL, also played under John Fox, believe it or not, in Carolina. But he was in Kansas City when Matt Nagy came to the Chiefs, and his brother, Mitchell Schwartz, is still the right tackle for the Chiefs with Matt Nagy as the offensive coordinator. Jeff, happy new year, bud. Good to talk to you. What do Bears fans need to know about Matt Nagy?
Well, I think he's going to be well-versed in offensive scheme, obviously. If you look at what Andy Reid's guys do, and generally, if you look at the West Coast tree They tend to do well. Look what Doug Peterson's doing in Philly. Look at all the guys that branched out from the Holmgren days. So you're going to get a guy who'll be able to bring some explosiveness back to that offense. And I know you have Cohen, I know you have Howard, but just he'll bring some semblance of constant offense for that team because they really haven't had that under John Fox.
No, that's for sure. That's for sure. It's interesting how this year has played out with Andy Reid in charge for a while, and then he handed over the reins of play calling to Matt Nagy, and reports are that Nagy was the real aggressive one, added in a whole bunch more run-pass option plays for Alex Smith. Does that dovetail with what you know and have heard maybe from your bro about Matt Nagy, that he's an aggressive guy, aggressive play caller?
Well, I'll tell you this. If you look at the Chiefs, I'm going to pull up right now because it's so true. I tweeted about this as well. As soon as he became the OC, they ran the ball a lot more with Kareem Hunt. Look, West Coast offenses, especially Andy Reid offense, they don't want to run. They don't want to run. They don't do not want to run the football. I've been a part of that. I know how it is. They don't want to do it. But if you look at and since Nagy became OC, Hunt had 25 carries, 24 carries, and 29 carries in a three-game stretch when he was playing at the end of the season to end up winning the AFC West. So they brought that back in. They brought some more RPOs in, which is good. You want an OC that can do both. And obviously with the Bears' talent in the backfield, they're going to want to run the football. Now, maybe not as conservatively as John Fox liked to run the football, but with Nagy, you'll have a little bit more creativity and play design. You'll have a good first 15. And I trust him to get Trubisky going. Look, he's never been a head coach before. I don't know how he's going to handle two-minute situations or challenges or timeouts. But I have faith that he'll get that offense in the right direction.
Jeff Schwartz, former Chief, his brother, Mitchell Schwartz, a right tackle, currently on the Chiefs. Matt Nagy, of course, the new head coach of the Bears as the former offensive coordinator in Kansas City. What can you tell us about him as a guy?
He's a great guy. I mean, look, I only spent 1 year with him, and the year I spent with him, he was the quarterback coach. So, I mean, my interaction with him was very little, but generally speaking, everyone at Andy's staff that I was there, played with, guys I kind of still talk to now are great guys. I mean, Andy Reid's not hiring any bums. You know, Andy Reid is a religious guy. He's hiring wholesome individuals. You know, Nagy's got a big family, loves football. So I think you're going to have a good head coach. You know, I mean, I think generally speaking, right, there's no, like, bad people that are head coaches, are there? I'm trying to think of, it doesn't happen very often. And if there are, they're out of there fast. They don't keep jobs.
No, but there's different types, right? I mean, he's young, so that would, like, the stereotype would be he's a player coach. Yeah. Is he relatable? Right. Is he a hard-ass? Does he scream? You know, that sort of thing.
Look, he's not going to be a he's not John Fox, right? I mean, he's not going to be older, conservative. You're probably going to see more chances taken. And I like Foxy, but very predictable. So you're not going to get the same predictability that you would have with a John Fox that you have with Nagy.
Does being young and energetic and passionate matter in the room for some players, Jeff? Because you know, that's the way this is. That's the way seems to be a model after Sean McVay. Young offensive mind, but also passionate and just, you know, good communicator.
Of course, it's important, and especially when you have a young roster, it's important, I think, for the coach to relate to his players. It's not 100% have to happen, but look what Sean McVay did. You went from Jeff Fisher, who, you know, he seemed to motivate his players okay, and you went to Sean McVay, young, tons of energy. But look, what Sean McVay did well is he hired Wade Phillips. I mean, that was a huge hire for him. So you're really, you know, interested to see, and I'm sure it was talked about in the interview, is who's he bringing along with him? What offensive coaches does he have in mind? He's a young coach. He might not have the same network that other coaches have. Who's his DC? That's a big important decision. Does he keep the current defensive staff at all? Does he find his own guys? So there's a lot of questions as far as who his staff will be. But I have no qualms about it. I think he'll be a good offensive minded head coach. Just a matter of who gets on defense.
Jeff, what the hell happened in the second half of the playoff game and the loss to the Titans?
You were there in 2013. So when Mariota caught his own pass for a touchdown. I immediately thought, oh, here we go again.
Of course, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck fumbling the ball, picking it up, and then running it in on you guys. Of course.
And the funny part is everyone on Twitter, all the Chiefs fans are like, yep, it's Colts game all over again. And so how about this? I was doing live radio on ESPN Radio for the entire game, 4 to 8 Eastern. And I was lead hosting too. So, and they told me, they said, look, I told them before, I said, look, guys, my brother's playing. I'll mute my reactions if you would like. They're like, no, please be authentic. So I'm on the air with two ex-players, Bobby Carpenter, Ben Hartzog, and I'm trying to lead a show watching the Chiefs collapse. And I'm like, I'm in the middle, I'm like, oh, I'm like groaning on the air. I'm making weird noises. And I'm trying to do this show. It was just, I'm new to being a Chiefs fan, but that game was everything the Chiefs fans dread, right?
It was an inventive way to lose, but also from the Bears' perspective, people want to know, like, how much should they be concerned about Matt Nagy abandoning the run game and the play calling and how, you know, 0 second-half points, that sort of thing?
I think that it's ultimately the offense runs through Andy Reid in Kansas City. But, you know, so Matt Nagy might say, let's run the ball here, or I'm calling a run, and he might just say no. I mean, I don't know if that's if that dynamic is there, because I wasn't there when he was calling plays. But Andy Reid still has a big part of the game plan. And just remember, he might have learned from 2013 and 2017 when he gets to Chicago. He's like, look, I've learned from Andy Reid. Andy doesn't like to run the ball when we're up. I'm going to run the ball more. I mean, I think that he can learn from this. I just don't know why Andy Reid is like cursed doing this. He's a great coach. Look how many guys he's sent out to be head coaches. Look how many good players he has on his team. Look what we do with Alex Smith. Alex Smith had a career season this year. But he just can't. He can't win some of these games. It's remarkable how the team just shuts down for some. It's amazing to me.
He has some panic in him in big games and big moments and apparently he was the one play calling in the second half. Jeff, thank you for the information, the context.
Yeah, Jeff, thanks a lot, man. Follow him on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz, and he's a rising media star as well, so it does not surprise me that he was already driving a radio show. Remember who gave you your big radio break, Schwartz?
That is against Ted Cruz, but we did.
That's right. That's right. Against the director of PR for the Bears. We made him all upset. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you, buddy.
The Chiefs. Ted Cruz was the Chiefs PR guy.
Yeah, and Schwartz was just like, I'll just come on. I'm towards the end of my career.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Spiegel and Parkins podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and on the radio.com app, where you can listen to and download every show on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.